Coming up, Joe Biden gave a speech blasting President Trump, and the media is praising him as a unifier. They're praising Biden for unifying as he sits there bashing Trump and the Republicans. That's coming up. The media hypocrisy has again been exposed as they buried the Hunter Biden scandal, multiple Hunter Biden scandals, and they've been burying now the Eric Swalwell scandal. Congressman Eric Swalwell, former presidential candidate, colluded with a Chinese spy. And then, of course, he went on to blast Trump, accused Trump of collusion for years. That's coming up. All right, so we have great news. Before President Trump leaves office, as it appears he may do, he will make sure that showerheads have more power, much more power, and make sure that it's pleasant once again to take showers with a stronger water flow, unlike Obama, who made that annoying, who made these crazy restrictions with this annoying slow stream that restricts the amount of water to this slow drips, this very, very slow stream that makes it impossible to get clean in the shower, and by the way, probably even wastes more water under the Obama environmental water restrictions. So President Trump, he's actually going to make sure that his Department of Energy reverts to allowing more water to flow out of a shower head. Finally, this could go down as being his biggest legacy. Forget the embassy move. Forget the wall, right? President Trump made showers great again. So the media is saying, oh, well, this is just Trump is his personal annoyance. Trump has a personal gripe about showers, and he's using that to set policy. They could not be more wrong. This is something, oh, Trump, he's annoyed. He's got a lot of hair. It's hard to get clean. This is something millions of people actually care about. Trump, he's not a politician. He's somebody who does what people actually care about. Unlike others, these real politicians, these establishment veterans, the Democrat and Republican alike, they just pander to some radical group, to their base. They pander to the lobbyists. Trump, actually, he says, this is annoying me for years. I'm finally the president. I could do something about this. It annoys everybody. So the Trump Energy Department, they're going to loosen the water conservation requirements on showerheads and other appliances. President Trump has pushed very hard for this. What happened was the Obama changed. It's how you define a showerhead without getting into too much nitty gritty here. The question is how you define a showerhead, because the rule is not being changed. The rule either way, there's a cap. There's a cap on how much water can come out of a showerhead every minute. It's something like a gallon or two and a half gallons of water per minute. That's the maximum. But Obama defined showerhead as the total showerhead. So if a showerhead has 10 holes or one hole, either way, in the showerhead that water's going through, either way, Obama made it that 2.5 gallons is the limit, and now the Trump Energy Department is saying, no, 2.5 gallons per minute is going to apply to each nozzle, each hole in the showerhead, each nozzle. So that means a lot more. If a showerhead has 10 nozzles, then I guess it can have, 25 gallons of water per minute. So Trump, remember, back in July, he said, quote, you take a shower, the water does not come out. You want to wash your hands, the water does not come out. He said that at the White House. He says, my hair, I don't know about you, but my hair needs to be perfect. So what happened was, either way, in 1992, the restriction was 2.5 gallons per minute. But as I said, Obama defined that as the total shower head. And now the Trump administration, they're changing that definition. And good for him. So meanwhile, you have this activist, Andrew Dolasky. He is blasting Trump. He says, quote, changing the rules to address one of Trump's pet peeves, President Trump's pet peeves, is silly. Thousands of showerhead models on the market today meet the standard. So, I mean, come on. It's not about Trump's pet peeve. I love it how they demean him like that. And it's totally not about that. And it totally misleads to the public. The question is Joe Biden going to then revert it back to the Obama rule? And by the way, I don't believe this conserves any water. To me, it's just annoying. I believe people use the same amount of water, because the bottom line is it takes a certain amount of water. I think it even may use a lot more water, because you have to sit there and the stream does not come out. And you have to wait and wait and wait. And to me, it's just like every other liberal environmental policy. It's just a feel-good policy. They feel good. You know, it's like banning plastic straws. Then it turns out that plastic straws are a tiny, tiny fraction, minuscule fraction. Banning straws does virtually nothing to help fight pollution. Same thing here, you know, with the water flow in the shower. It makes them feel good. They can go sleep at night. They clear their conscience. They've helped the environment, and probably they made it worse. I want to see studies that show it made that this makes it better. All right, you know, again, the media is ignoring the fact. No retraction, no apology. They told us, you have three Supreme Court justices. This is very important. three Supreme Court justices that Trump appointed, and they all sided against President Trump and against Texas in the lawsuit where Texas sued the other states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, saying that their rights were violated, their voting rights, and the Supreme Court, of course, tossed it out. Well, you had Clarence Thomas and Alito, both of whom were not appointed by Trump. They said they were willing to hear the case, but then you had the three that Trump actually appointed, of course, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, and they all chose to toss it out. They all rejected that case outright. I want to explain. They weren't actually ruling on the merits of the case on the fraud. That's very important, as I'll explain in a second. But my point is, the media, remember they told us how President Trump was appointing Barrett, and Barrett, she was going to be there to put a conservative majority in place so that the Supreme Court could rule in Trump's favor if there are any election disputes. And yet here, so the media told us how Trump was putting in place a conservative majority so he could, basically rig the election, right? And that clearly did not happen. Clearly, we've seen two rulings so far by the Supreme Court that went against President Trump, including by his own appointees. So what do we see? We see that the media was totally wrong when they told us, oh, he's going to put them in place and they're going to rule in his favor. Not the case at all. And, whether you agree or disagree with how they ruled, clearly they weren't in Trump's back pocket. But, of course, the media is not retracting and not apologizing after they tried to tell us this false narrative. Now, it's very important because in the Texas case, they weren't ruling on the merits. And I want to be very clear here. They weren't saying, they weren't saying, well, listen, there was no cheating, there was no fraud. The media, by the way, keeps being very misleading about the cheating and the fraud, as we'll get to in a moment. As usual, of course, the media totally skewing and distorting the facts. But in the Texas lawsuit, what the ruling by the Supreme Court wasn't a ruling, but the reason they rejected the case is because of standing. They said that Texas doesn't have a right. Essentially, they're saying that one state does not have the right to get involved in how other states set up their election process. Basically, Texas cannot decide, even if it seems unfair, Texas cannot decide the election process for Pennsylvania, Michigan, etc. That's what they're saying, that Texas doesn't have standing. So they weren't saying Pennsylvania didn't cheat. It wasn't about cheating so much. It was about, changing the rules, or maybe it was about election fraud or universal mail-in, whatever it was about. But the Supreme Court wasn't ruling about the actual merits of the case itself. What they were saying is that Texas doesn't have a right. You have to be a party. You have to be somebody who has a right. Now, we can debate that, but that was their, that was their ruling. That was their reasoning for rejecting it. So we cannot use that in any way to imply or infer anything about the Supreme Court's opinion about fraud, cheating, universal mail-in ballots, or anything else. It's simply almost like a technicality that Texas doesn't have the right. Texas is not a party to this lawsuit because each state kind of has the right to set its own rules. Other states cannot interfere. Now, this is actually, it's a pretty conservative ruling. When you think about the actual ruling itself, the actual issue, right? The issue is a very fundamental issue. Can one state get involved in another state's voting process? Can one state say, listen, it's not really fair to us. We're voting for a president here. We're electing a president. It affects all of us. So Texas is going to define, or the Supreme Court's going to step in, the federal court's going to step in and define how states are allowed or should be setting up their election process. Now, that could have wide-reaching repercussions. If the Supreme Court had gotten involved, Ben Shapiro made this point. It actually could set a very dangerous precedent. Number one, that one state could sue another state if they don't like the election process, which means that states could suddenly be deciding what's fair and what's unfair for other states, which is frightening, because that could really get abused. And should the Supreme Court be allowed to decide, well, these are Pennsylvania's voting rules, these are Michigan's voting rules, etc., and suddenly you have a court of nine justices, or sometimes five justices in the majority, they're deciding, basically the entire country's electoral process. That could be a very frightening, so even though I wish they had taken the case and I wish they had overturned the results of the election, of course, because that's what the results I want, but in terms of the actual issue, it would have been a very dangerous precedent, so keep that in mind here. Hunter Biden is being investigated for all sorts of crimes. We now pretty much have confirmation, at least two investigations being done by the DOJ, by the FBI into Hunter Biden. And President Trump is considering appointing a special counsel. Oh, how great would this be? Please give us a special counsel. They gave it to Trump's own people. Rod Rosenstein, who was appointed by President Trump. He appointed a special counsel against President Trump. You mean to tell me? And of course, we know AG Barr appointed John Durham, made him a special counsel, so that hopefully that investigation can continue into the Russia probe, into the egregious corrupt behavior of the FBI against a sitting President Trump. And hopefully now there's going to be a special counsel about Hunter Biden to make sure that Joe Biden does not bury the investigation into his own son. And it's pretty amazing. We'll get to it later on here. A.G. Barr has resigned, or probably has been pushed out. We know that President Trump is very upset at A.G. Barr, and I can certainly sympathize. We're going to tell you some of the quotes from President Trump. He was interviewed recently about A.G. Barr. He feels very let down by A.G. Barr, you know, when it comes to the Hunter Biden investigation and the fact that A.G. Barr did nothing to leak that to the media, to announce it to the media the way Comey did about Hillary. And in fact, A.G. Barr, it seems he tried to actually conceal the Hunter Biden investigation from the media so as not to appear to be interfering with the election. Trump's also not happy about Barr's comments about the election itself, and maybe feels A.G. Barr not doing enough to investigate the election fraud and the alleged cheating. Meanwhile, the media is spreading lies about the DOJ. This is so important because the media keeps trying to claim that the DOJ, A.G. Barr and the DOJ, they confirmed that there was no voter fraud, there was no cheating, they're contradicting Trump. The media keeps misquoting. They are misquoting A.G. Barr, misquoting the DOJ, making it seem as though A.G. Barr said definitively there was no voter fraud, there was no cheating, wasn't enough to overturn the results of the election. That never happened. It's not even possible. I tried to explain this. You know, you have Rudy Giuliani and you have the Trump legal team. They're scrambling as fast as they can to try to build a case, voter fraud and build a case to prove that Biden and the Democrats cheated and stole the election. Now, the problem is the DOJ, they could never, ever do an investigation this quickly, as we've seen. I mean, they are slow as molasses. They are pathetically slow. So the DOJ, you can't possibly tell me the DOJ confirmed that there was no election fraud. They're not going to know for like the next 5 years, the DOJ. I mean, give me a break. It's a joke. And the DOJ never said that, but that's the media. The media, they're trying. Oh, you see, even Trump's own DOJ, even his own attorney general says, confirmed that there was no voter fraud, there was no cheating, they didn't steal the election, not even close. So now a DOJ spokesperson had to come out and say that the media is inaccurately characterizing the DOJ's findings. And I can't tell you, I've heard this again and again, and it's really infuriating. Oh, even the DOJ confirmed that there was no voter fraud, that the Democrats, Biden didn't steal the election, that Trump is wrong, we see Trump is wrong. The DOJ, they couldn't investigate this in 2 years. They wouldn't have enough time to investigate this thoroughly and properly. So here's a quote from a spokesperson. Quote, some media outlets have incorrectly reported the department has concluded its investigation of election fraud and announced an affirmative finding of no fraud in the election. That is not what the AP reported, nor what the Attorney General stated. The department will continue to receive and vigorously pursue all specific and credible allegations a fraud as expeditiously as possible, end quote. So all that A.G. Barr said is he said, we have not, and I'm upset Barr said this because he should have known that it would be totally misconstrued and taken out of context and used as a weapon against President Trump's own claims. But A.G. Barr said, he said, we have not uncovered a voter fraud to the scale that would overturn the results. So number one, he never said we didn't uncover voter fraud. He, in fact, he implied very clearly the opposite, that they did uncover voter fraud. But he said not to the scale, and only said we didn't uncover. It's not that he said definitively there is none. They couldn't even know that nobody could know that. No, how could he even prove a negative? How could he prove that there was no fraud? I don't even, you know, it's one thing to tell me that you don't have enough sufficient proof that there is fraud. But that's all Barr was saying is we didn't uncover it. Did they even try? We have no idea. I guess a little bit. Did he have enough time? Did he have enough people investigating? Did he really investigate properly? Of course not. Of course not. So the whole thing, again, you know, once again, the media spreading this false narrative with one objective, you know, just to damage President Trump. All right, and I'm trying to embarrass the man. Meanwhile, a total double standard on the Hunter Biden scandal. And now, by the way, the media is finally reporting a little bit on Hunter Biden. Why is that? There are theories why. But, of course, they totally buried the scandal. In fact, Twitter censored out the links to the New York Post story during the election. Now the election's over. Now suddenly they feel a little bit more free to report about Hunter Biden and the reporting of Eric Swalwell. So Eric Swalwell, he blasted Trump for years on the fake, phony, bogus Russia collusion story, and it turns out that he was colluding with a Chinese spy. So let me read you here a quote. The Daily Wire actually reported on Kayleigh McEnany. Kayleigh McEnany came out and blasted the mainstream media in their total double standard and their utter hypocrisy, changing tunes on the Hunter Biden story now that the election is over, and, of course, ignoring, burying Eric Swalwell, who it seems may have been colluding with a Chinese spy. And that's real versus Eric Swalwell's manufactured hoax accusations against about Trump-Russia collusion, which the media, I mean, Eric Swalwell, he was like a regular on these Sunday morning shows, and, you know, they'd report his own false allegations against Trump again and again. Let me read you some quotes here. Kayleigh McEnany, quote, last week we found out that Democrat Eric Swalwell was infiltrated by an alleged Chinese spy. The spy cozied up to Swalwell, raised funds for his 2014 campaign, and even planted an intern in his office. That relationship continued until the FBI briefed him in 2015. That was good reporting done by Axios. But after entangling with this spy for years, Swalwell hypocritically went on to be one of the lead investigators of the Russia collusion hoax and the impeachment sham. Swalwell wrote this on his congressional webpage, quote, President Trump and his team are directly and indirectly tied to Russia, end quote. By the way, I'm interjecting. That was all Kayleigh McEnany. I'm interjecting over here because Eric Swalwell, I believe he's on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And how could they not pull him off of the House Foreign Affairs Committee in light of the story that just surfaced about his ties to China? Now back to McEnany, quote, that was not true. He then said in September 2020, the president has a compromised relationship with Russia. Untrue. April 2019, he said President Trump certainly acts on Russia's behalf, acts like Russia's leader. Not true. January 2019, Swalwell said it's pretty clear that President Trump is an agent of Russia. Agent of Russia. Not true. And Swalwell shamelessly claimed Don Jr. and Jared Kushner had an eagerness and willingness to work with the Russians during the 2016 election. Again, false. In 2019, he falsely claimed this yet again when inquired about collusion by a reporter. These baseless attacks were false, yet covered breathlessly by the media. There was no coverage, however, of Swalwell being the one implicated with not Russia but China. In fact, the New York Times website, as of this morning, had not one result for Eric Swalwell's ties to Chinese spies. When the Swalwell story broke, guess how many minutes of coverage it got on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, and CBS? Zero. CNN devoted 3 minutes and 16 seconds to it. However, it was covered on Fox. Then McEnany highlighted how the media has changed its tune in the Hunter Biden scandal. Quote, interesting pre-election and post-election coverage on the Hunter Biden scandal, which was not covered at all by many outlets in the lead-up to the election. On October 15th, you had a New York Times headline that said, Trump said to be warned he was being given Russian disinformation over Hunter Biden. Now December 10th, the New York Times headline, quote, investigation of Hunter Biden is likely to hang over Biden as he takes office. Washington Post in October said the truth behind the Hunter Biden non-scandal. Now the Washington Post headline says, quote, Hunter Biden tax probe examining Chinese business deals. Politico in October, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinformation. And in December, Politico says, quote, Justice Department's interest in Hunter Biden covered more than taxes. So she says, look what's going on here. And now why is the media suddenly jumping on the Hunter Biden story? All right, so one obvious explanation is now it's a real story. Now they're actually reporting the facts because the election is over, so they're not as worried about reporting on it. But there is a more sinister theory, which is that now the media, they actually want the Hunter Biden scandal. They want it to gain traction because now they actually want to push out Biden because Biden's a moderate. Biden is old school. You know, Biden, he's a politician from the past. He's not enough of a socialist. He's not enough of a radical. So now they actually want to push in Kamala Harris because they feel that she is much, much more radical, much further left, which she is, and that she would support a radical Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez agenda. So they actually want to push Biden out. There's a theory. It certainly makes a lot of sense to me. By the way, speaking of the media and changing their tune after the election, did you notice how the vaccine companies, how Pfizer and the vaccine companies, Moderna, how literally days after the election they came out with all this positive news about the vaccine and how effective it was and all these clinical study results? I mean, you could tell me that's just how the timing played out. It just happened to work out that they got all these results literally a week after the election. It is hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to not be a little bit cynical that they didn't want to interfere with the election in Trump's favor, that they didn't want to announce positive news. I don't know. Look, I don't want to see, you know me, with COVID-19, I get very nervous. I really don't like, you know, to ever get in the middle of something like COVID-19, a pandemic. It's not politics to me. It transcends politics. It's health. It's life and death. You know, but I do think the timing there was certainly very interesting, and at least, you know, we need to at least mention and acknowledge it, make the observation. Joe Biden gave a speech. He officially has been certified to have 306 electoral votes. I know it's very depressing. And look, Trump continues to battle in the courts. Not over yet. But, you know, Joe Biden has been certified with 306 electoral votes, which obviously puts him over the 270 mark. Now, he gave a speech celebrating his, I guess you want to call it his official declaration certification as president-elect. So rather than unite the country, he bashed Trump and bashed the Republicans. It was a very negative speech. I was actually surprised that it was that negative. And yet, here's an AP headline. Quote, "Democracy prevailed. Biden aims to unify divided nation." Literally, they're actually reporting on the Biden speech, and they say Biden aims to unify divided nation. And then, like, the first paragraph is all about how Biden blasted and bashed President Trump. But let me read you some quotes from Biden, because he was so vicious against Trump. This is a man supposed to be unifying a divided nation. He's as divisive as it gets. Here's some quotes from Biden. Quote, "We saw something very few predicted, the biggest voter turnout in the history of the United States, a number so big this election now ranks as the clearest demonstration of the true will of the American people. It should be celebrated, not attacked. More than 81 million of those votes were cast for me and Vice President-elect Harris. That is a record more than any ticket has received in the history of America. It represents a winning margin of more than 7 million, yada, yada. And then here's what he says. He says, at the time, back in 2016, President Trump called his Electoral College tally a landslide. By his own standards, these numbers represented a clear victory then. I respectfully suggest they do so now. If anyone didn't know before, they know now. What deeps beat in the hearts of the American people is democracy, the right to be heard, to have your voice counted, to govern ourselves. In America, politicians do not take power. People grant power to them. The flame of democracy was lit in this nation a long time ago, and we now know nothing, not even a pandemic or an abuse of power, can extinguish that flame." So he talks about abuse of power, but wait, it gets much more vicious. Quote, "A few states went for recounts. All the counts were confirmed. The results in Georgia were counted three times, etc." And then he says, even more stunning, and then he says, "And yet none of this has stopped baseless claims about the legitimacy of the results. Even more stunning, 17 Republican attorneys general, 126 Republican members of Congress, they actually signed onto a lawsuit filed by the state of Texas. The lawsuit asked the United States Supreme Court to reject the certified counts in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. This legal maneuver was an effort by elected officials and one group of states to try to get the Supreme Court to wipe out the votes of more than 20 million Americans and to hand the presidency to a candidate who lost the Electoral College, lost the popular vote, and lost each and every one of the states whose votes they were trying to reverse. It's a position so extreme we've never seen it before." So here he goes on and on about, you know, demeaning and degrading Trump and the Republicans for battling the election results. By the way, in court, a legal battle. It's not like they were, you know, having people burn down buildings the way the Democrats did several months ago. And he continues, Biden. He says, quote, "Position that refused to respect the will of the people, refused to respect the rule of law, refused to honor our Constitution. Thankfully, a unanimous Supreme Court immediately and completely rejected the effort. The court sent a clear signal to President Trump that they would be no part of an unprecedented assault on our democracy." Assault on our democracy. Every single avenue was made possible to Trump to contest the results. President Trump, he took full advantage of each and every one of those avenues. President Trump was denied no course of action he wanted to take. He took this case to Republican governors, Republican Secretary of State, as he criticized many Republican state legislatures, Republican-appointed judges. And then the case decided after the Supreme Court's latest rejection, a judge appointed by President Trump wrote, "This court has allowed the plaintiff the chance to make his case, and he has lost on the merits." Lost on the merits. Even President Trump's own cybersecurity chief said it was the most secure election in American history. Let me say it again. His own cybersecurity chief overseeing this election said it was the most secure. You know, respecting the will of the people is at the heart of our democracy, even if we find those results hard to accept. So you have this petty speech where Biden, rather than unifying the country and rather than celebrating his win, he is bashing Trump and, you know, blasting the Republicans For what? For questioning the integrity of election that it was riddled with fraud. I mean, and clearly, even if you don't think it was enough to overturn the election, it was riddled with just so much scandal, so much cheating, so much fraud. All right, so President Trump getting zero credit for the vaccine. It's unbelievable. I mean, the media kept fact-checking him. President Trump, for months, has been promising a vaccine before the end of the year. Remember how the media, there are the Washington Post, there are numerous new mainstream media outlets that fact-checked President Trump, talked about how Dr. Fauci questioned whether we'd really have a vaccine by the end of the year, and, you know, claiming that it was too good to be true and that, you know, it was another one of President Trump's, what they call, many lies of Trump. And it turns out that the vaccine has already been administered. Here we are, several weeks before, 2 weeks before the end of the year, and President Trump turns out to have been 100% right, and the media outlets who accused him of lying are 100% wrong. They should have egg on their face, but of course they do not. Where's the apology? Where's the retraction? It's not going to happen, and they get to just do this. They get to, you know, they get to accuse Trump of lying. They're the ones who are lying. They're the ones who are proven wrong. It's black and white. It is not like a gray area. Well, you know, is it the best economy, the third best economy? I mean, this is black and white. He promised the vaccine by the end of the year. The vaccine happened by the end of the year. And the media fact-checked him again and again. Now, I wanted to talk about fudge surprise cookies. Have you seen these cookies, these fudge surprise? And my issue with it is that it's not a surprise, and here's why, because they tell you that there's fudge inside. It's a cookie. It's like a white cookie. Well, it has chocolate stripes on top, but it's mostly white. And then inside the cookie, there's this fudge. There's this, like, chocolate stuff inside the cookie. So, and, you know, you can't see it from the outside. So that's why they're called, I presume that's why they're called fudge surprise cookies, which would be all fine and good. By the way, they'd be okay even if it wasn't fudge surprise, because the thing is, if you like a cookie that's white on the outside and fudgy and chocolatey on the inside, then you'll like it. You know, not everything is a surprise. You don't need it to be a surprise to like it, right? So let's say you have a sandwich cookie with cream in the middle. You could see the cream in the middle, so you know there's no surprise there. But if you like the outside being cookie and you like the inside being cream, then you're good. You know, it doesn't have to be cream surprise. You could see the cream. But the fudge surprise, see, it's covered all around on the outside. But the thing is, it says on the box that it's fudge surprise. And it actually even shows a picture on the box of the chocolate in the middle, the fudge in the middle. So that's not a surprise anymore. It would only be a surprise if you actually didn't know. I guess maybe you can surprise someone else. You buy the cookie, except that people will recognize the cookie. But you buy the cookie, you take it out of the box, you hand it to somebody, say, "Here, here's the cookie." Now, the person may say, "No, thanks, I don't like the cookie if it doesn't have any chocolate." And then what are you going to say? Well, it has chocolate in the middle, then that ruins the surprise. You have to say, no, eat it anyway. No, I don't want to eat it. It doesn't have chocolate anywhere. No, just eat it. You know, so it's like, and you get into a fight with the person until they finally discover the surprise, right? But anyway, the point is that if you buy the cookie yourself and you see the box, there's no surprise. So what would be, so there's no fudge surprise. How great would it be if you actually didn't know? How great would it be if they didn't call it fudge surprise? If there was actually, they just called it the surprise cookie, and then surprise, and you like fudge, and you find the fudge, and wow, how great was that? That's an exciting surprise, because it's what you wanted and you didn't know. So the problem is, that's not how this operates here. You actually see the surprise before you open the box and eat the cookie. Now, I understand. Now, imagine, for example, right? Let's say they called it fudge surprise and showed a picture of the fudge inside, and it was like strawberry jam inside, you know, or it was like peanut butter inside or butterscotch inside. Well, that would certainly be a surprise. Maybe it wouldn't be a fudge surprise, but that would be quite the surprise. Now, maybe you wouldn't be so thrilled with such a surprise. I don't know. But to me, my dream is if the cookie was just plain white in the box and they didn't call it fudge surprise and it just looked white, and then you bit into it and surprise, there's actually fudge inside. Now, that would be quite a thrill for anybody who likes that sort of thing, you know. But the problem is, you're not going to buy, how are they going to get you to buy the cookie? So I see the dilemma here, but I'm just, you know, kind of venting, airing my gripe over here. I'm not suggesting that I have any problem. You know, I get why the company's doing it. You know, just trying a little bit of comic relief here. By the way, the Cleveland Indians baseball team, apparently they are planning to change their name. They're no longer going to have an offensive, politically incorrect team name. Well, we don't know when that change is going to happen. I need to mention, we're looking for a sponsor. We're looking for a monthly sponsor here for the show. Now, look, we have this show on a podcast. We also do the show, of course, on the hotline, which is where many, many listeners, we actually have a couple of thousand calls on average. We have a couple of thousand calls to the hotline every day, and especially days where we actually put up a show, obviously. So we have, you know, thousands and thousands of calls to the hotline a week. So there's a lot of exposure there. We're not talking about a huge amount of money here. Because the hotline is free right now, we just want to cover our expenses, really. So we're looking for about $300 a month if you're able to sponsor. Or maybe you could join others and sponsor $300 a month for the show. We could take a month by month, but we're looking for $300 a month just to pretty much just cover our overhead, cover the cost of running the hotline. That would be very appreciated. You'll get a lot of exposure, you know, because as I said, you know, there are thousands of calls a week, many thousands of calls a week. So a lot of people, you know, if you're looking to possibly advertise a product, promote a product, or maybe some other cause, certainly a sponsorship, you know, would be a great way to do it. And it's an extremely low price, you know, considering the exposure, the visibility that you're getting. $300 a month is a real bargain. So please reach out to us. The email address is thejewishnewschannel@gmail.com. And you can, of course, reach out about anything on your mind. You can email. There's a way to leave us a voicemail on the hotline, of course, but you can send us an email at thejewishnewschannel@gmail.com, thejewishnewschannel@gmail.com. Pete Buttigieg has been chosen by Joe Biden as his transportation secretary. I mean, this is the failed Mayor Pete, his only qualification. I mean, Pete Buttigieg, this could be an absolute disaster for him to have a cabinet post. He has zero qualifications. The man should not be anywhere near a cabinet post or near the department. I mean, I don't know if he should be the janitor at the Department of Department of Transportation. But of course, what's his qualification is that he stepped aside so that Biden could win. And all important, that primary in South Carolina, Pete Buttigieg, of course, made it possible. He stepped down just in the nick of time because Bernie Sanders was on track to actually, you know, possibly beat Joe Biden in the primaries. And of course, that would have been an absolute disaster for the Democrat. It would have been great because, you know, Bernie Sanders, the radical socialist, I mean, he would have had a very tough time in the general election. Obviously, Trump would have destroyed him in the general election, which is why it was so crucial. But he had Klobuchar and Buttigieg step down and hand the nomination to Joe Biden. And now this, we knew he'd get rewarded. This is the reward for Pete Buttigieg. President Rouhani of Iran, Hassan Rouhani of Iran, has accused Israel of course, assassinating Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, the chief nuclear scientist of Iran's nuclear weapons program. No, it's a civilian. It's just a civilian program. It's for nuclear power. Iran doesn't want to harm anybody. Well, no kidding, President Rouhani. Really? You think it was Israel? Really? Are you sure about that? He said, quote, waging instability and war in the final days of the Trump administration was the main aim of the Zionist regime in this assassination. That's what Rouhani said, which he's right about. For once, I actually agree with Rouhani. And don't worry, Twitter will not censor this. It's not President Trump touting some sort of treatment for COVID-19. It's not President Trump claiming that the election was stolen. It's just the Ayatollah, you know, threatening to genocide or to destroy people or something like that. No big deal. So Rouhani vowed to avenge the killing, but he said that his country will not allow Israel to decide the time or venue of retaliatory action. I love this, when the Iranians, they threaten, but we're not going to let Israel determine. We're going to decide on our own terms when to retaliate. Newsflash, the Iranians are terrified to retaliate. Remember after the killing of Soleimani, remember the Iranians, they threatened to retaliate. Everyone was blaming Trump because he was going to trigger World War III, and the Iranians, there was that one attack. They warned. It was in Iraq. It wasn't even close, you know, close enough to hurt, to, you know, to do any real direct damage. There were some people, there was some head brain trauma experienced by U.S. soldiers, but there was no direct damage done because the Iranians warned the Americans. They warned the Iraqis, who then warned the Americans to basically stay out of the way. You know, it was literally just a token retaliatory attack because the Iranians were so terrified. So that's what Rouhani means here when he says, well, we're not going to allow Israel to determine the time or venue of our retaliation. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, Israel has established diplomatic relations with yet another Muslim country. This is just unreal. The history being made here. Is Trump going to win a Nobel Peace Prize for this? As he should, of course not. Is he going to get the credit he deserves? Of course not. But Bhutan has established full diplomatic relations with Israel. This is the fifth country this year to establish ties with Israel, all directly linked, of course, to President Trump. Jared Kushner, Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, said that this is additional fruit of the peace agreements and that Israel is in discussions with other countries as well who wanted to establish diplomatic relations. So this is just truly astonishing. And Bhutan is an isolated nation. Bhutan has very few diplomatic relations with any country. Listen to this. Bhutan, it's this isolated nation, and they have no formal relations with the United States, United Kingdom, France, Russia, China. They only maintain official ties with 53 countries, and yet Israel is one of them. So there is a quote here. Israeli Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi said, quote, "Israel's circle of recognition is growing and expanding. The establishment of relations between us and the Kingdom of Bhutan will serve as another milestone in the deepening Israel's ties in China." Israel, of course, has established ties this year, thanks to Trump, with the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco, things that were believed to be impossible just a few years ago. And Jared Kushner said, quote, "This has been held back for so long by old thinking and by stalled process. We finally had a breakthrough 4 months ago. We're continuing to push the region forward." And by the way, President Trump, the Trump administration has rescinded the status of Sudan as a state sponsor of terrorism. Sudan, one of its conditions, it seems, in establishing diplomatic ties with Israel, was they insisted that President Trump of the United States rescind their status as a state sponsor of terror. So that's pretty interesting. And as we told you, President Trump sort of attacked A.G. William Barr. And now, of course, Barr is resigning here, just a few weeks left in his serving as A.G. under President Trump. Assuming Biden takes over, obviously A.G. Barr would be removed. But he's stepping down a few weeks early, so it's mostly symbolic. It's President Trump kind of cleaning house, I guess, because he's annoyed at Barr. And Trump said that Barr should have stepped up to alert the country that Hunter Biden was under investigation during the campaign. Quote, "Joe Biden lied on the debate stage. He said there's nothing happening. Bill Barr should have stepped up." Fox News reporter Brian Kilmeade, who was interviewing Trump, said that if Barr had spoken out about the investigation, it would have been compared to James Comey, who announced the investigation into Hillary's email server, that it was reopened days before the 2016 election. And, of course, James Comey was viciously attacked for that move. So Trump said all he had to do is say an investigation is ongoing. "I don't want to say anything bad happened to Hunter Biden, but whatever the facts are, I don't want to say anything bad. I purposely stay out of it. But when you affect an election, when they're saying things, making statements, and the press is purposely not reporting it, Bill Barr had an obligation to set the record straight." He said Barr should have acted the way Robert Mueller acted. Remember, there was a BuzzFeed report that President Trump had directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress, and Mueller actually got up and announced that that article was false. Bill Barr should have done the same thing. And as we said, there are two criminal investigations ongoing right now against Hunter Biden. But, you know, Trump makes a very good point. What he's saying is this. He's saying that Biden is lying about it. He's saying, yeah, you're not supposed to just get up if you're the head of the DOJ, you're the AG, you're the head of the FBI. You're not supposed to just get up and announce ongoing investigations because those are private matters until there's actually charges. You know, just the fact that they're investigating, people have a presumption of innocence till proven guilty. But Trump is saying that, you know, there was a false media report about how that claimed that President Trump instructed Michael Cohen, his lawyer, to lie. And that was false. That was fake. And, you know, Bob Mueller got up and corrected the record. So he's saying Joe Biden was asked about Hunter Biden. He repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. He repeatedly denied any scandal, any crime, any corruption. And it turns out there's investigations. So all Bill Barr had to do was just get up and say, listen, that is not true. Joe Biden here denying the fact that there's any, accusations against Hunter Biden, any suspicion, that is false. Joe Biden is lying for saying that and just set the record straight, just contradict the lie being told. It would be similar to, let's say, Hillary, you know, had said there was no email server scandal. The whole thing was made up. She didn't have an email server in her basement, right? Would anybody have blamed James Comey for getting up and saying, no, actually, that's a lie? You know, she did have an email server in her basement. Doesn't mean he's accusing her of committing a crime, but he's just setting the record straight and just, you know, just contradicting the lie. That's what President Trump is saying A.G. Barr should have done. And, you know, you have to, one final point here. I mean, there was so many false, fake accusations in the Russia collusion hoax. And the media, reported it all, and it was all bogus, and it was all fabricated and made up, manufactured. So, like, don't you think, you know, just a scandal on the other side, which is real and valid, don't you think, I know you're going to say, well, AG Barr was the right move to make, but, like, it's so one-sided. It's so, the media is so vicious against Trump, they're literally an arm of the Democrat Party. And all we have is somebody like AG Barr, you know, to just clarify the record, just tell us the facts, because there is nobody who's going to actually report the facts, including Fox News at this point. All right, that's going to do it on this very busy day, and we will see you next time.